I know, it's been like that day.
Morning. This is the regular board meeting for the Forest Practices Board on August 8th, 2018. And Patricia, would you please provide us with a safety briefing?
Good morning and welcome to the Natural Resources Building. In the event of a fire, alarms will sound and flash. In the event of an earthquake, alarms may not sound and flash. Please drop to the floor and cover your head as best as you can, or go under a table. In any evacuation of the building, staff will lead you out the building using the double doors in the front of the room, then the first door on your left, moving east towards the grassy area along Jefferson Street. There, DNR employees are trained and equipped to assist you in checking in and responding to emergencies. At this time, I ask that you silence any noise-making devices that you have. Thank you.
Thank you, Patricia. Tom, would you lead off by introducing yourself and we'll go around the table, please?
Sure. I'm Tom Nelson, a general public member.
Good morning. I'm Patrick Haffer with the Washington State Department of Agriculture.
Carmen Smith, contact waters representative.
Lorraine Brent Davis, general public member.
Bob Gunther, general public member, small forest landowner.
Jeff Davis, Department of Fish and Wildlife.
Stephen Banaff, Commissioner of Public Lands, designee.
Ben Sir, Department of Commerce, designee.
Good morning, everybody. Tom Laurie, ecology designee.
Good morning, I'm Hollis Woody, general public member.
Good morning, I'm David Herrera, general public member.
Lisa Janicki, representative of counties.
Good morning, Noel Willett, Woods Products Labor Rep.
Thank you. Staff, would you introduce yourselves, please?
Good morning. I'm Joe Schramick, DNR Forest Practices Division Manager.
Bill Ferrister, Senior Counsel, Attorney General's Office.
Good morning. Mark Engel, Forest Practices Assistant Division Manager.
Trisha Anderson, Forest Practices Board, Rules Coordinator.
So I wanted to start off the day by welcoming Ben as the new designee from the Department of Commerce, and he happened to sit in on our May meeting and then he'd go running out the door. So we appreciate his service to this board, and we'll all be looking forward to working with you, Ben. Under the report for the chair, we've got several items I want to. First of all, where's Scott? Oh, you want to come on up here for a second? I just want to recognize Scott Swanson for his leadership as the policy co-chair up through last month.
Right.
And you were in that position for a year and a half.
That's right.
And I just want us all to thank him for his work on top of representing the counties. We really appreciate his efforts on that. Thank you very much. At the same time, where's Kurt and Tara? You want to just stand up? And we'll hear from them later, but Kurt Velthusen with the Skagit Co-op and Tara Rentz from Fish and Wildlife are the new co-chairs of policy, and we want to thank you for volunteering to do this this fun work.
That wasn't the adjective I thought you were going to
use. I just wanted to mention we continue to work hard on the cultural resources issue. We're hoping to schedule a policy level meeting in September between the tribes, the landowners, and the state, and hope to bring something more than just an update to you in November. So we'll see how that goes. So there's some white papers out there that we're perfecting, and we hope to meet with the policy level folks on those in the next couple months. I don't know if we did this, but, and I know she's not here today, but some of you may be missing Mary Skurlock. She worked for the Environmental Caucus as their policy lead for about 5 years. And I think we should recognize that and really appreciate her work for that caucus and for TFW for the last 5 years. And then I just wanted to, is Alec in the room? Alec.
Probably stuck in traffic on his way.
No, he's actually in the cafeteria. So Alec Brown is Mary's replacement, and I'm sure you'll get to meet him during public comment or at some other part of the agenda. So please welcome Alec as the new Environmental Caucus representative. I wanted to mention wildfire. We're in that time of year where things are pretty hot in a number of ways. Our fire season started 3 weeks earlier this year than is typical, and we've been experiencing warmer and drier conditions as a result. As of yesterday, actually the day before yesterday, we've responded to more fires than we have on average. To date, we've responded to 958 starts, and that has impacted about 145,000 acres across the state so far. The interesting thing about this fire year is about 30% of those fires actually are occurring on the west side. Usually, we have a lot of focus on the east side of the state, but we've actually had quite a few fires on the west side this year. And that's resulting in a greater strain on the resources of all our teams to both keep enough people home so that if additional starts occur, we can actually get on them quick enough that they don't get big while still providing the person power we need for the other fires on the east side. Lightning and humans remain the most significant ignition sources. There's currently 9 significant wildfires in the state, with 8 requiring type 1, 2, and 3 teams. This season, we've placed a bigger emphasis on initial attack and the use of aviation to get on top of them. As of Monday, we had 29 aircraft in our state working on initial attack on fires, which is pretty unprecedented for us. But it seems to be working because we've kept 90% of the fires down to 10 acres or less. So that's the good news. The concerning news is we're expecting challenging weather conditions, especially around Friday, where we might go into, as you know, it's heating up again. And on top of that, we're expecting some dry lightning. So we're hoping that, we're asking all Washingtonians to provide assistance by taking care to avoid sparking a wildfire. Burn bans are in effect across the state, and both nationally and regionally, we're at the highest level of preparedness that you can get in the wildfire program. So I just wanted to make everybody aware of that, what's going on there. I guess the other two things is, as you know, many of our staff end up being redirected to wildfire if they're on teams or if they provide an individual resource. At some point, if we need to, like we did in 2015, I may be calling landowners and asking them to pull back on any application submittal for 30 to 60 days until the fire season calms down. At some point, we have a set of criteria that Joe has worked with the regions on on what our priorities are, and at the point where we can no longer staff to get those applications reviewed properly, then we will be making calls and ask people to back off on some bills. Anyway, so I wanted to mention that. Yes?
I just want to throw in a footnote on the car fire that's down in California. Everybody's been talking about it, but our company looks like by the time, as of last night, when the lines are all connected, we're going to lose about 50,000 acres of our timberland down there, which is a lot. It's especially grieving to me. It's my old district, the one I managed, and it's a lot of 25-year-old plantations that we logged and planted and thinned. So it's a common misconception among the general public about private timberland. There's no, we don't insure these lands. That's just one of the risks you take when you do this for a business. But that's a big hit for anybody. So it might get higher, but hopefully not.
Thank you, Tom. On another note, I think all the state agencies are working on budget and legislative requests, and we certainly haven't gotten done with our internal process, but as soon as we do, I'll be reaching out to all the stakeholders to talk about ideas and where we can get support for what. I mean, there's going to be some obvious things like continuing to fund FREP and FFFP, but we'll probably be talking about other things as well. Lastly, before we go into public comment, just wanted to acknowledge there's a few changes to the agenda today. This morning's agenda pretty much stays the same, and then this afternoon, we've taken, we'll go straight from public comment to the water typing update, to the clarification of PHB alternatives, public comment, board discussion, and then Dave and Jeff will give us an update on the survey protocol. Lisa will give us an update on the next steps on the AMP program. Improvements, and unless it's absolutely necessary, we're not going to talk about Safe Harbor today. So I just wanted to note that. Okay. Patricia, has anybody signed up? Jim Peters.
Good morning. I'm Jim Peters with the Northwest Indian Fish Commission representing Western Washington tribes. First of all, on a personal note, with my background in fire management early on in my career in natural resources, I just wanted to reach out and thank DNR staff and their crews battling these forest fires this year. And it seems like it is every year it is increasing difficult to battle these fires and stuff, and hope that everybody out there that is working on this, not only the DNR crews, but the landowners crews and things like that, are safe in battling those. And so I just wanted to recognize that.
Thank you, Jim.
The next one I would like to just briefly touch on, and you guys probably already know this, but the clean water assurances has always been a high priority for the Western Washington tribes. In the timber, fish, and wildlife process, and then also in the forest and fish process, we recognize that Department of Ecology and EPA are the leads on these issues and wanting to make sure that those priority projects continue to be worked on and completely funded so that we can get the insurances that we need from those two agencies and assure that we're doing the right things. And if not, then we need to make some changes. We support their recommendations to continue on with those high priorities when it comes to water quality. And we will continue to assist them as co-managers and the rest of the stakeholders group to make sure that we get those projects and keep them online and things. We have completed a lot of those studies, but we still have some that still needs attention, and we need to take the lead, ecology and EPA's lead on where we, what we need to do next and how we need to implement those studies. So, thank you.
Thank you, Jim.
Ray, yes.
Chair Banath, members of the board, Ray Entz with the Kalispell Tribe. And I also want to throw a shout out to the firefighters out there, both national and state teams, LCES. So there's a lot on the agenda today. I want to talk a little bit about TFW policy priorities. First thing, I think that given our situation with fire and fire resiliency in our forest systems, not having fire called out specifically in the priorities is an issue for me, issue for the Eastside tribes. So even though they're sort of captured in that 20-year forest health initiative by the state, I do believe that there is some emphasis on fire that needs to be a priority for the board and the AMP. As you know, with the TFW policy priorities and master project schedule, and I won't get into a lot of detail, we have some significant issues with the continuation of some longstanding inconsistencies in the budget, and hopefully those will get rectified at the board. And I wanted to talk a little bit about the board committee on efficiencies and effectiveness. I read the draft report, and I think needless to say, I was very shocked with a section of that report. I think that I appreciated the fact that the comments were put in the report because it gave me a good understanding for where people were coming from. But I was completely taken aback at the personal nature of the attacks towards the Adaptive Management Program Administrator. And I do agree with some of the comments that I do believe that our AMPA does have an agenda. And I think that agenda is to bring science into this program and to let it lead us to good decision making. So yes, I do think he has an agenda, but I think that's his, I think that's the only agenda that he has. And I want to take this opportunity to applaud Hans for his work in this program, for his honesty, his integrity, and his desire to maintain that integrity through the science process. And I don't think he hears that enough from the board, policy, CMER members, or anyone else in this program. This is the first time in 20 years we've had an AMPA that is a scientist, a true scientist, and truly independent within this program. And that's applaudable. Yeah. So if I thought that our opportunity to have that discussion in and the efficiencies and effectiveness piece that we've had was to be personal, I could take a half an hour and we could start here and I could be personal about every egregious problem within this program and the individuals who break rules, don't follow guidance, break law. And we can go through that, but I don't think that's appropriate. If we're truly here to be collaborative and find solutions, then we need to work that way. And the definition of insanity is that you continue to do the same thing over and over and over, expecting change, and it never happens. Well, I guess I'm insane, because here I am again in front of you guys saying that this is important. I think that you have the authority and the opportunity to implement change. I don't think that you need principals to do this for you. I think you can do it. It takes commitment. It takes courage. And I just want to see you guys do it. I want to see some change. I'm committed. I want to be back at the table representing the Eastside Tribes at policy and to this board in the process, working together to find collaborative solutions to problems for this program. But until those improvements are in place, there's no way I'm going to continue to enable the bad behaviors that continually occur in this program by participating inside of the program. So with that, I'll go back to my insane chair and continue to try to change things from the side of the table. Thank you.
Thank you, Ray. Okay. Approval of minutes. Are there any suggestions for amendments to the minutes? Okay, you want to put a motion up, Patricia, or do we just do it? Okay.
I move for approval.
Board Member Nelson moves to approve the May 9th meeting minutes.
Second.
Jeff Davis seconds the motion. Any discussion by board members? There is no discussion. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions?
One abstention.
Then, sir, will abstain. Motion passes. Thank you. Kurt and Tara, please come forward, along with Scott, I think, too. Grab a third chair in there.
If I can, again, I'm Scott Swanson, TFW ex-co-chair. Both Tara and Kurt thought it was only fair that since I was still a co-chair in July when we were writing the report, that I should be able to come up here and help give the report. I noticed that there was only two chairs at the table, so I thought maybe I was going to be able to get out of it, but decided to better be here instead. I was going to introduce both Kurt and Tara today, but that's already been done. You'll have a good chance to get to know them, I'm sure, quite well over the next, hopefully, year or two. And the main thing that I wanted to do today was just to go through the report that you actually have in writing, and then also just we'll, the three of us, touch on the priorities going into this next year. The other thing that I wanted to do is make sure that you all were aware that we, since May, when we reported the last time, spent a lot of time on the master project schedule and budgeting process and made a lot of I think very good headway in a number of areas that we had some disagreements on. Participating caucuses during those meetings got to a point where we brought forward a recommendation that you'll hear further from Hans Bursch later this morning. And as he gives the report and recommendation from the TFW Policy Committee. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to the new co-chairs, and thank you each for listening to me over the last year or so. And I am sticking around. The one thing I wanted to bring to your attention is since Adrian Miller stepped off as co-chair of TFW Policy, we have not had it where we have separated the co-chair's position from the caucus's voting member position. So I think it is a good thing that we have the opportunity, both from the Westside Tribes and from the state caucus, that they all have voting members that will be on the committee besides the co-chair's position. So I think it'll be helpful all the way around, and I'm glad that both of these people stepped up and their caucuses stepped up to be able to do this. So I don't know if Kurt or Tara want to go forward next. Or...
Yeah, thanks, Scott. And appreciate the introduction, Stephen. Stephen and I go back to about the early 90s. When I first got out of grad school, I came up and visited him at DNR, and he gave me some ideas on how to get a job in Washington. Obviously, it worked really well because I've been here almost 30 years. As far as the policy committee goes, you know, as always, we have a full plate. And many of our priorities at this point are really the things that we are dealing with in the present time, including the work that we're doing to support the completion of the Type F rule change. We are also dealing with the small forest landowner template project, which is being worked on at the subcommittee level. We have some work in progress as far as work plan for dealing with unstable slopes. Some of the projects that came from the in the wake of the Oso landslide, that's being managed largely at the CEMER and UPSAG level. Obviously, the budget has been a big project, and I think that some of the conversations we had around budget this year have led to some ideas on how to improve the review and approval process in the future. So there's some things I think that Hans will probably touch on later on when he presents that. And then the big new item, obviously, is the fact that the Type N experimental study has been passed on from CEMER to the policy committee. That was we approved the acceptance of that at the July meeting and have been deliberating on the steps to process that at the policy level. And that's probably the most, the biggest incoming project that we're dealing with at the moment. So, Tara, you wanna add anything to any of that?
Yeah, so, you know, along those lines, just to let you all know, Kurt and I are using this opportunity as both being fresh new co-chairs to do a little housekeeping with TFW. Some of it's in line with some of the things that came out in the AMP review process that we were teeing up before that report even came out. So that's a really positive thing, I think. We're really working hard with all of our partners around the table right now to really reestablish and reemphasize the trust that's in that forum. And so we just really want to make sure that this group is aware that as we're going into some of these hot issues like Type N and other things, that we've been having really positive conversations, very respectful conversations that have really, I think, set the stage for us to take our next steps through some of these action chains that we're in right now. And so we're very excited to look at that. Our budget that you guys will receive later this afternoon or later this morning is a good reflection of that. You know, there are still items that we're actively working through and new strategies that we're trying to put into place that make it more efficient and effective for your forum to be able to interact and improve that that process and for us to be able to work through that. And so those are some of the things that we're kind of teeing up for this next year. There are some really cool things that this board has asked DFW to start digging into a little bit more that we're going to be addressing over the next year. For example, at our next meeting, we have a really great presentation on climate change and climate vulnerability that was pulled together by a number of the climate-related staff from multiple caucuses. And so we're really excited to see what that looks like and if next steps come out of that for future recommendations. We've got some working groups we're going to start forming to deal with improving our operations and our relationship with CEMER to try and deal with some of the obstacles that creep up just through basic organizational management issues, I think, between some of those forums. And so we're really hopeful that kind of through all of this, we'll be able to better serve the resource and better serve you all as board members. And I know Kurt and I are both really open to having conversations with anyone who has any interest in things that we're doing or wants to provide some feedback on some of the work that we're doing over the next few years.
Just to refresh the board's memory, since we've got some new board members, Well, you have about 180 days to decide what to do with a hard rock study, is that right?
Yes. In July, we approved to accept the hard rock study report and findings. At our last meeting, last Thursday, we voted to take action, to determine action alternatives as of August 23rd, which maxes out our consideration period. So then we'll have 45 days after that to develop a suite of recommendations that then policy has 60 days to pick, nope, flop this, 60 days to develop a suite of alternative actions and 45 days to pick from that kind of laundry list to determine what we want to bring, what we want to recommend to this forum. And we've got some information and resources coming in to help us through that process and some great folks who are kind of teeing up our working group to start thinking through some of those things. So we're just kind of trying to work through that at this stage of the game. But that's where we are.
And Jenny, I don't care who, but just speak to the volume of information that's going to be coming at us. I mean, this is a significant study that's taken how many years? 8 or 10 years to get to this place?
Yeah, I can't tell you the exact amount, but it's really been the, in my mind, the flagship study to come out of the AMP really since Forest and Fish. So it's really the first one to hit the ground. It's a large scale, controlled, experimental study, which is very impressive, and it covers a whole lot of different aspects of stream and forest health. So there's been a large volume of information coming through CEMER and to us, and so that's been challenging. At this point, the conversation has really focused on the stream temperature response because there's a clear standard as far as the clean water requirements. So we've sort of focused on that as being the most likely area to really focus in on, although there's, as you point out, there is a lot of really interesting results pertaining to amphibians and woody debris recruitment and a whole variety of things that affect small non-fisheric streams.
So. Yeah, if I can, I actually was going to change the subject just a little bit and then ask if anybody had any questions, but two things. One, if you had a chance to take a look at the monthly workload that we passed on also with our written report, you notice that the out months are fairly blank. That's not because we don't think that we have anything that we're going to be doing. It's that we know that we have the Type N study and a couple other CEMER studies that will be coming to us or have already come to us that we'll be working on along with trying to get to a point of getting back to you a recommendation on the small forest landowners situation. The other thing too, I just wanted to point out, you might have heard a little bit of exuberance from these new co-chairs during the report, which is a wonderful thing to be able to enjoy. And I learned one thing from our last meeting as they were ready and running the meeting. The word awesomeness was used more than once by one of the co-chairs. So if you don't think that we aren't trying to work together, we even use words like awesomeness now. So.
It's generational.
We have improved vernacular at TFW that you are all welcome to partake in throughout your forums. We encourage it. Along these lines, Stephen, to kind of respond to your comment, as Kurt said, we really don't know the volume of information that's going to come to you. We're hoping we can keep things pretty clean and transparent. But the other thing I would do is I would encourage all of you to come to a TFW meeting. You know, they happen the first Thursday of every month, usually at Department of Ecology's office in Lacey, and they're super awesome. And we at our September meeting, we're going to be getting some great background information to help us with our Type N discussion. At October meeting, there's going to be a lot of those alternatives aired. So if you want some additional information, I really encourage you, we have a conference call line, you can call into that if you want to. Just let Kurt and I know, and we'd be happy to help coordinate that with you as well.
Just as a reminder, if board members plan to call in or participate, please coordinate with Patricia so that we can keep track of whether we need to publicly notice the meeting as a meeting of the board.
If we, yes.
Thanks, Phil.
Thank you. Any Questions from the board to the panel?
I just wanted to ask about the Hard Rock study work that you mentioned. I'm looking at the scale. So looking at your table, is it a, after January is when the board might expect recommendations? Is that it?
Yeah.
Is January the?
Yeah. Yeah, it's 180 days that that clock started in early July, so.
Yeah, just following it along, just trying to see what that endpoint is. Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Yeah. Thank you very much. Mark Hicks. As you all know, Mark comes with good tidings on clean water assurances a couple times a year to talk to us. And I know that one of the things he probably wants to mention is we're coming up on 20 years next year of clean water assurances. And so Ecology is probably going to be doing another review, be my guess. I'll let him talk about that. But I was certainly on that side of the table when we did the last one, and it that resulted in the milestones that we review once or twice a year as to whether we're on doing the priorities we should be, both operationally. DNR works with Ecology to deal with operational issues, and of course the AMPA and policy staff work with Mark on whether we're getting the SEMR projects associated with clean water out. So with that,
I'll have to also note that when all these briefings began, I did not need glasses to read my notes. Now I couldn't do them anyway, even if even with larger type. So time has moved on a little bit here. But so is some of the projects. Okay, for the record, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, my name is Mark Hicks, and I'm here representing the Department of Ecology for purposes of the Clean Water Act assurances corrected milestones, and I do give these updates pretty regularly. The last update was at your February meeting. Since that meeting, one Clean Water Act milestone has been completed. That is the East Side Type-In Experimental Treatment Study, and that is the study design phase that was approved. So we've now approved the study design, and that's really good. That was a lot of hard pushing and such, but I do have to remind the board, it took 9 years. 9 years to develop the study design, even with it being a Clean Water Act milestone, one of the lean pilot projects. Ecology tried at one point even to use dispute resolution to move it forward, and we have come both directly to the board and to policy, talking about the trouble the project has had. And it will be at least another 7 years before the actual field work is completed, a report is written, and it can be delivered either to policy or the board. So it still is a long road before this priority Clean Water Act project, one of the highest, actually can reach the board. So it's in your packet, but as just kind of a reminder, the Clean Water Act assurances were established under the 1999 Forest and Fish Report, and it established a 10-year period of testing and improving the forest practices to attain Clean Water Act objectives. That first 10-year period ended without us being able to confirm that we were on a trajectory towards meeting the state water quality standards. After some introspection in 2009 and a lot of communication with all the stakeholders and policy and SEMR and everyone was involved, but after a lot of conversation, Ecology chose to extend the original assurances for another 10-year period. To warrant that extension, we put together a list of corrective milestones that were intended to create a path of steady improvement, both in terms of achieving specific objectives on projects, as well as to get process improvements that we thought would ultimately come with those milestones. We kind of forced the process improvements as well. As you can see from the bar charts that are provided on the last page of your update, if you had a chance to look at it, few milestones have been completed on time, and many are a long ways from being close to the actual target dates. since the tracking chart simply stops at the end of the 10-year extension period, the actual timeframes for completing the studies are often much farther out in the future than what you can see. It's worth noting that the only research project that's related to water quality protection that has been completed since the Forest and Fish Report in 1999 is a 2013 mass wasting effectiveness monitoring report. So it's good that the Hard Rock study is now in, you know, officially accepted by policy, but it, just to put it in perspective, we haven't gotten the information that we had hoped to get when Forest and Fish was first put together. Ecology continues to be concerned with the Clean Water Act milestone projects given the limited funding and cooperator attention. There's just so much to go around. Competition for funding with new board priorities combined with a potential reduction of funding in 2025 adds to ecology's apprehension. Underlying all of our concern is that we think that the program is not working as it was intended in the forest and fish legislation, and that is placing us all in a very undesirable situation. To be clear, ecology has not yet made a determination on whether it will or it won't continue to offer the Clean Water Act assurances after 2019, or if we were to extend them, under what conditions we would extend them. What would it look like to extend them? I also want to make it clear that we are still committed to participating in the Adaptive Management Program and trying to improve it. And our commitment, our ongoing commitment, in spite of the fact that we haven't got everything met we wanted, is based on still seeing a really high intrinsic value to this program, and it's worth continuing to try to work on and try to fix. We further appreciate and support the board's efforts to reinvigorate the program through meeting of the principals and through its efforts to obtain fiscal and performance audits. These actions, along with establishing the board subcommittee on adaptive management improvements, are all positive steps, and we really do appreciate it. Finally, we hope the board and the program cooperators will use the remaining 17 months, a little more than a year, so there's lots of time left, of the 10-year extension to the insurances to move key Clean Water Act projects forward towards the finish line, and to make whatever process improvements it can to create an adaptive management program that meets the high expectations that were originally envisioned for this program. Thank you for your time, and as always, I'm happy to answer any questions you have.
Questions for Mark? Board Member Sweeney.
So thank you for your report. It's sobering. And you know, we've heard some version of this along the way, but you put a good exclamation point on it today, I think, and so I appreciate that. So I have two questions. One is, can you remind the board of what some of the major issues were that made the 10-man effectiveness study design take 9 years? Because I think that's a good, I think, concrete illustration of why we're doing the work to try to, you know, both reinvigorate TFW and try to put some efficiencies in the program. So, you know, so if you don't mind, a reminder of what some of those issues were. And then from your perspective, do you think that the subcommittee is on the right track, or that we've got, you know, somewhere in the list of recommendations, the types of improvements in the ANSI program that you think need to happen to make sure we get better on track for meeting the Clean Water Act milestones?
Those are great questions, and they are also very thorny questions. Mm-hmm. And when I answer it, you'll find that there are a lot of people that have a very different perception of history. And I think the real issue here is that there was nobody that was going to rush in with a process or a white knight type of approach to pull us out of the conundrum that we were in with that study design. I would say that there was a lot of, I don't know if I want to do this, honestly. It ends up with pointing fingers and such, and I really don't want to do that, except that, you know, people really seem to have very different ideas on what it means to delivered their opinions and their professional input in a timely manner and to stay consistent with those. The issues of concern kept changing over time, so that when you think you have an agreement, it isn't really an agreement. When you think you've solved a dispute, a brand new one pops up, and it just keeps going down the road, and pretty soon years are going by. We thought that when we put that in the Lean pilot project, that would send it forward really quickly, because that whole project was designed to have put together a small team of people that could work in a very concentrated way over a short period of time to deliver proposed study designs, for example. What ended up happening was something very different. We didn't even follow our own Lean process. You know, by choice, people didn't want to follow it for fear of what would happen if they left key stakeholders out of that decision process. It's like, so the what you'll hear is essentially, we can't move forward until so-and-so agrees, until that caucus agrees. Why bother? Why bother move ahead? Because they're going to stop it later on for one reason or another, unless they are part of designing it from square one on all the way through. And then when you get agreement in the science program, is it really an agreement, or is it just a pause? Because the same issues will come up when it gets to the same issues that theoretically were resolved by consensus in the science program pop up almost verbatim when it finally is delivered to policy again. So at least that's my observation of this. And it makes it incredibly difficult to move a project forward where that project particularly has a potential of finding something that people don't want to find necessarily. I think it's going to be really hard to fix. Part of the reason I highlighted the pilot project and the dispute resolution process and such is to say, you know, it's not easy to fix this. People are very intelligent. They know how to use systems. You create a brand new system, they'll learn how to use that system. We do need people at the table that have the qualifications to be there. We need people with the commitment to adaptive management, to actually following the science. And we do need people who understand that we are still supposed to share each other's issues. And that's a tall order. But if you can get that, I think you've got most of the problem solved, obviously.
Any questions for Mark? Thank you, Mark.
You're welcome.
Hans, is Phil in the room? You want to go get him?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's do this then. Let's take a 10-minute break while you go get Phil. We're running ahead of time, which is great.